and all things are possible now that you're here.
Amen. If we open our Bibles to 2 Peter, and we'll begin reading at verse 3. Second Peter chapter 3, beginning reading at verse 1. The second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which are spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandments of us the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers. Now the Greek word there is empektes. It means a derider. By implication, it's a false teacher, a mocker, one who scoffs, one who treats with derision. Walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his parousia? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation, and for this they are willingly ignorant. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we have read the warning which was given to us over 2,000 years ago by the Apostle Peter. Your words, Father, which knowing these things would come, you've given us an ability to see them coming and to know them because we have seen them in our day. And we've seen the interpretation of your word, which is the manifestation thereof. And Father, it says that these men would be mockers, they'd be scoffers, and walking after their own lusts. Help us, Father, to recognize the day and the conditions of the hour in which we live, in which we can hardly talk to those who are not your elect. In fact, you said that the entire world would go insane except for the elect because they would have the mind of Christ. And we see that every day, Father. We see in the political realm just pure insanity. We see in the religious realm pure insanity. We see a daily walk and in our daily work, we see the insanity, Father, and it just seems like men are groping and looking for answers, and yet there is a way which seems right unto men, but the way thereof are the ways of death. Be with us, Father, as we study thy word again today, and we ask that you would help us, Lord, to get a handle. Maybe that's not the right word, Father, but if you would help us, Lord, to have a better understanding of the day and the conditions, and prepare us, Father, in our hearts that when the next phase of your presence goes into effect, the voice of the resurrection, that we'll be prepared for it, Father. And help us to be, as David said, Lord, search me and try me and see if there be any wickedness in me. And then help us, Father, to patiently wait for the promise, for knowing that we have waited, we shall receive that promise. And we believe the promise for this hour. Half of it has already taken place. We've seen a prophet come. We've seen Malachi 4, Revelation 10. We've seen Luke 17 and 30. We've seen all of these scriptures fulfilled. And yet we have the scriptures in Ephesians and Romans and Hebrews and Galatians that speaks of a preordained sons and daughters of God, predestinated to the adoption of children and ordained to be conformed to the image of your firstborn son. So help us, Father, to just let go and to let God, as Brother Branham had to learn to, when he saw the vision, just to not put his own thoughts into it, but just follow the vision. Help us, Father, as you've given us the vision through your word, and help us, Lord, just to follow. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now we're currently studying the Spoken Word's Original Seed, and we're in the second half of Brother Branham's sermon, where he broke the service into two. It's about a 6.5-hour sermon. And we're actually in the second half right now, and this is 175 in our series. And we're at paragraph 33 of the second half. So I don't know if we'll probably have about 300 sermons in this series, but it doesn't matter to me if we're preaching on this till the Lord takes us home, because we just look at it one thought at a time. We take it back to the Scripture. So I'd like to do that again this morning. And at paragraph 33 of the second half, and if you have the books there, you can follow along. But Brother Brown said, now she mingled her seed illegally, illegal to the word. What was she trying to find? Now listen close. What was she after? Wisdom. Wisdom. And that's what she's done today. She sent her preachers away to schools, incubated them in a machine, psychology, all kinds of stuff that should not even be in the Bible. And she's incubated her eggs. And when she's done, she's brought out a product of a bunch of people that will compromise anything and refuse the very message of God, not knowing what she's doing. She's ignorant of it. She don't believe it. She don't think she's wrong. Neither did Eve think that she was wrong. Eve thought she was right. And if that was a type and this is the antitype, it'll have to work the same way that the type did. Now that's just, and to me, that's just two times two equals four. And you know, you think about how simple the message is. When you have the reality of a God who has children, he had a firstborn son, because let's face it, if he has many children, one of them has to be the firstborn. And so the simplicity of the gospel is there for all of us to understand. But the people in the world, I mean, I get on a regular basis, I don't mean to talk about what goes on in my life and my ministry, but I end up getting people wanting to debate all the time. Even Trinitarian and Oneness ministers will write to me, and they'll say, well, this William Branham stuff is, you know, bunk and everything else. And then you just give them scriptures. You give them a handful of scriptures. They can't answer them. And so then they attack Brother Branham's character. They always go to his character. And you can't attack his character. But they attack the man because he didn't have a college degree or he didn't have some high education. And as Brother Branham said, that's what they go for. You see, they turn aside the word and they go for wisdom, so-called wisdom. So I hope you can see what Brother Branham is telling us. Just as Eve was ignorant of what she did, so too the church today is ignorant that they have already conceived another seed. Now, look, she conceived a seed. In ignorance, Eve conceived a seed. She had no clue what was really going on. She was just told by wisdom that, you know, if you do this, it'd be all right. And she conceived a seed, a seed which was not the Word of God. And Brother Brown said that, you know, Christ should have come through Adam and Eve, you know, by the spoken word. She had another plan, or they had another plan. Well, they believe they have the truth, but the very fact is that they're ignorant shows that they have a wrong spirit, and that ignorance, that mocking spirit in them, according to the scripture, reveals to us where we are at the last days. You know, they mock, they walk after their own lusts, they mock the word, they make fun of it. You know, the oneness will take a little snake out of their pocket and, you know, talk about serpent seed and make fun of those things. It's a mocking spirit. And that mocking spirit shows who they are according to the scripture, because the Bible says there will be mockers and scoffers at the end time. Now notice that she mingled her seed, like Eve did, with something other than the word. And as a result, it has produced a bunch of people, Brother Branham says, that will compromise anything and refuse the very message of God, not knowing what she's doing. She's ignorant of it. She don't believe. She don't think she's wrong, as Brother Branham warns us. Now remember, Eve was not raped. She entered into that union willingly. And yet she was ignorant of what she was doing, and so she was innocent. She wasn't innocent because she willingly entered into that union. She may have been ignorant, but she was willfully ignorant. And if you're willing to turn down the truth because of your own ignorance, that makes you willfully ignorant. As Brother Vale said years ago, he said a woman said to him, well, I don't understand, therefore I'm not held accountable. He said, no, just you've got it all backwards. You are held accountable, therefore you had better understand. You see? Now listen, I've had to deal with a whole lot of ministers in and out of the message who close their eyes and shut their ears so they won't hear or see what you tell them concerning the doctrine of Christ. And why do they do it? Because it interferes with what they think they already know and are comfortable with. And how many people are going to spend an eternity in hell where it's not too comfortable, so they can be comfortable here today? You see? In their own imagination or among their own little groups of like-minded people. What a shame to turn down the truth for popularity or for money. And what a shame to spend an eternity in hell for a little bit of comfort today. And that is what Peter told us in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 5. For this they willingly are ignorant, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. So we see constantly throughout the scriptures, both Paul and Peter, they warn us not to be ignorant. And yet I've heard ministers in this message, they say, well, bless God, you know, I had an eighth grade education. As if that's some type of a blessing. You know, and they take pride in that. Well, in 1 Thessalonians 4:13, Paul admonishes the Thessalonians, but I would not have you be ignorant, brethren. And in 2 Corinthians 1:8, Paul speaking to the Corinthians, he says, for we would not have brethren, have you to be ignorant. And in 1 Corinthians 10:1, moreover, brethren, I would not that you be ignorant. And in 1 Corinthians 12:1, Paul says, I would not have you be ignorant. And again, in 1 Corinthians 14:38, Paul concludes, if any man be ignorant, well, just let him be ignorant. In other words, don't fuss with them. If they want to be ignorant, just let them go. And then in Romans, Paul speaks to the Romans in chapter 1, verse 13. Now, I would not have you be ignorant, brethren. And again in 11:25, he says, for I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery. And in Romans 10:3, Paul tells us why they are ignorant of God's truth. He says, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness, and that word righteousness comes from the Old English right wiseness, so it means a correct understanding. So they being ignorant of God's right wiseness or God's correct understanding go about to establish their own right wiseness, having not submitted themselves unto the right wiseness of God. Now Brother Branham taught us that Christ is revealed in his own word. And to be frank, the scripture teaches us that all men are revealed by their own words. For Jesus said, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. Well, you are what your thoughts are. And so we find in Deuteronomy chapter 6, and reading from verse 4 to 9, if you turn with me in your Bibles, we have a few verses here. Hear, O Israel, chapter 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thine house and upon thy gates. In other words, there is a way to establish the thoughts in your mind, and that's to keep the Word of God constantly in your presence. As I say that, you know, my feeling is that if you put on a tape every night as a family and put it on, we've got, you know, our bedrooms are surrounded. We have like 4 bedrooms in the upper level opening, you know, like a hallway, and just put it on out there, and they can hear it all night. And it just keeps impressing. In fact, the NIV puts it this way, verse 7, impress them on your children. Talk of them when you sit in your home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. The Amplified puts it this way, and these words which I am commanding you this day shall be first in your mind and in your heart. Then you shall wet and sharpen them so as to make them penetrate, and teach and impress them diligently upon the minds and hearts of your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in the house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. And so we see in doing so, they were to place the scriptures and all sorts of things that the children will actually see with their eyes, and when they see with their eyes, it will have an influence in their minds and in their hearts. You see, you're creating an atmosphere in your home, you're creating an atmosphere in your child. It's like the little girl that she was on her way home from school, and the priest got a hold of her. And he said, why aren't you in church on Sunday? And she said, well, because I go with my parents to their church. Well, you don't have to listen to your parents, you have to listen to me, I'm the priest. And she said, well, the Bible says that we're to honor our father and our mother. And he said, well, he said, what do you know about the Bible? He said, you're just a child, you shouldn't know about the Bible. She said, well, she said, but the Bible says that Timothy, from a young age, he was taught by his mother and grandmother. And he says, well, Timothy was just, he was being prepared for the ministry. And so, you know, he's being taught by the priest. And she said, no, the Bible says that his grandmother taught him. And so at that, he just threw his hands up. He said, you're so full of the word. He said, you're so full of the word that he said, you destroy any parish. So just get out of here. You see, always have an answer for the hope that you have within you. We find in John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. Now that doesn't take any special gift to be able to understand that. Or is it so plain that we just have we should just be able to read it. Therefore, we can say that God and His Word are the same, right? Okay, now, let's see what else we can find out about this Word. In Malachi 3 and 6, He says, "For I am the Lord, and I change not." Hebrews 13 and 8 says, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever." So the Word doesn't change. God doesn't change. You see, because He is the Word. Now, let me first explain what this means, that God is the Word. In Proverbs 23 and 7, we are told, "As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." Now, this body is not you, nor any part of it. Brother Bram said, "It is like a coat that we wear." Well, my coat is not me. So what you are is what your thoughts are. In Matthew 12, verse 34, and Luke chapter 6 and verse 25, Jesus tells us, "For out of the abundance of the heart," or the overflow of the heart, "the mouth will speak." So then there's no getting away from the fact that you're not only what you think, but what you will be expressed through your lips in the form of words is who you are. You'll speak what you are. In John 1:1, then, telling us, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." To get to know God, it must come through His Word. And since we cannot change, then we can establish the point, and that is that Christ is revealed in His own Word, as Brother Branham taught us. Because Christ and the Word is the same. Now, if you're revealed by your own words, then Christ is revealed in the same manner. Therefore, to get to know Christ, we must get to know His Word. And that is why God has given us His Word. Now, could you imagine God wanting us to know Him and not telling us anything about Him? Well, I was raised Catholic, and that's the way it was. You see, they looked at the Bible, they said, "Well, that's not the Word of God, that's just a history of the church." Well, I don't think so. You see? And so the people have no clue as to God. They think He's one, two, or three, and they think even Mary's some form of God. And all the saints are some form of gods that can intercede for them. Then our knowledge of Him would be left up to our own imagination, and that's exactly what has taken place. Let me put it this way. When a young man sees a girl and he likes what he sees, what does he do? Well, he tries to get to know her. But what if he never talks to her? How can he get to know her? Not really. He may say that he's fallen in love with her, but without ever talking to her, how does he know who she is and who he's in love with? It might just be his own imagination that he's in love with, or he might be in love with love. He imagines that what she is like, and so he thinks on those thoughts, and then he falls in love with ideals of what she should be like. And how many girls do the same thing with the guy? But what happens if he dates her and they never talk? He will go on thinking she is what his mind has told him she is. And then he'll be surprised after they're married. And what if they do get married and they've never really talked and communicated to each other? Well, he'll be in for the shock of his life when he marries her. And then he finds out later that she's not what he thought she was. And so then they go through the next ordeal, and that's to try to change the person that they married. And it doesn't work. You see, we express ourselves by what we say and what we do. That is a real person in us doing those things and saying those things. The shell of a body is only a housing in which the real person in us lives. You do not know me by what I look like. But you know me by what I say and what I do. My expressions reveal to you the true nature of who I am. How often people marry thinking that they can change a person. And as I said, it doesn't work. So we see that not only is God revealed in His own Word, but we are also revealed in our own words. But what if those words are not true? Or what if we were told words that weren't true? How many young men married a woman who told him she was virtuous and she wasn't? And come to find out maybe years later, or how many women married a man thinking that he was virtuous and come to find out he's got children all over the country. And he lied to her. You see, what if you are a man looking for a wife and are given a wrong picture and a wrong description of that woman? You know, years ago they'd correspond and they date through correspondence, and she'd send a picture. And what if she sent a picture of her friend who was really pretty and she wasn't? You know, what if she had, like Cyrano de Bergerac, had somebody else write her love letters for her, as a young man did? What if you fall for a girl that you believe is virtuous because she told you she is and she's really not? She's a little prostitute. That would be a deception by testimony or deception by words. In fact, The Bible speaks, and that's why Brother Branham said you could be married 20 years and have a dozen children, and if she lied to you to get you to marry her, you could put her away and remarry. And that is because the word betrothal comes from the word be truthful. And it's like any contract. If you're deceived into the contract, that contract is not valid, and your vows wouldn't be valid. Now, then how was Eve seduced? By the charming good looks or by a lie that was told? And the early church left the one who bought them for another one. And how did they leave him? By word deception. The Apostle Paul warned us in Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 and 9. He said, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that would trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Now, this sounds like a little confusing because Paul says, well, you're removed to another gospel, but it's not really another gospel. What are you talking about, Paul? You just said another gospel, then another gospel. Well, actually, if you take that back to the Greek, he says you're removed to a heteros gospel, one of a different nature. You know, we have heterosexual means of a different, different nature. And he says, but it's not really another. It's not really an allos. It's a different Greek word there. It's not a different one altogether, you see. I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, unto a heteros gospel, unto a gospel which is of a different nature, which is not another, which is an allos, you see, which is a totally different gospel altogether. It's not, but Paul says, it's not another. It's not a totally different one altogether. It's just been perverted. You see, the devil, he doesn't have a word of his own, so he takes God's word, he twists it. How many times have you heard preachers preaching and the sermon is very nice until the very end? He gets his little curveball. Something he didn't ring the bell. So notice that Paul is saying, it is not an altogether different gospel you're hearing, but one that which is the same in essence, but is different in nature. So it's not the same, but it's been perverted. It's like I said, Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. And the word confess is the Greek word homologio. And it means to say the same words. You see? But it's not just saying the same words. As Brother Bell said, they've got it, but they don't got it. You know, when the Bible says that he that hath the Son hath life, that Greek word is echo. He that echoes the Son echoes life. And the word echo doesn't mean just to say the same thing. It's like Billy Paul and Sarah were arguing one day and so maybe it was Rebecca, I don't remember. I think it was Sarah. And so she went off crying. And he said, well, what are you crying for? I just said what Daddy said. And she said, but you didn't say it like he said it. You know, two boys can be standing around looking, and one says, well, she's really beautiful. And, you know, his words mean she's really beautiful. And the other guy says, she's really beautiful. And he said the same thing. But it's totally the opposite of what he said. She's really beautiful? Like, cool. You got to be kidding. So saying the same thing, quoting the quotes, doesn't make it so. If the spirit of the quoter is not not being reflected in that quote. So Paul says, but there be some that would trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Now the word pervert was translated from the Greek word transmutate. A word that means transmutate. So in other words, they're hearing a mutated gospel. For though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have already preached to you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than what we have received, let him be accursed. Again, we see in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 1 to 4, Paul warning the early church. He says, would to God that you would bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me, for I'm jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which you have not received, or another gospel, which you have not accepted, why do you put up with it so easily? He says you might well bear with him. That means, why do you put up with it so easily? Why don't you speak up? Why don't you challenge it? You see? For I suppose that I was not a whit behind the very chiefest of apostles. Well, now let's just jump down to verse 13 and 15. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Notice, transforming themselves. They weren't called to be, but they probably found there's good money in it, so they decided that's what they're going to do. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ, and no marvel that Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. And so we have a great falling away because of the gullibility of the people who are perishing. The Bible says that the priest ruleth over the people, and the people love to have it so. And it used to tear my heart when I saw the big strong-willed ministers ruling over the people. It used to really tear me up. But more recently, I'm coming to the place where the people love to have it so. They love to have it so. It's up to them to step out. It's up to them to stand on their own two feet. They're not going in on the coattails of any minister. They're going in, whether they are seed or not, and whether they're submissive to the word or not. And it's like I said years ago, we had a fellow in the church who came to me after preaching righteousness and unrighteousness. He came up to me and said, he was weeping. And he was crying, and he said, from what you're preaching on today, he said, I'm not born again. I said, that's right, brother, you're not born again. And he said, well, he said, I always believed I was elect. I said, brother, what good does a seed do if it's not been fertilized, if it's not been quickened by the light? It's dead. I said, what you need to do is get away from all your toys, all your things that are distracting you. Go out in the woods someplace, get on your knees, and don't get up until you hear from the Holy Ghost. Now, I'm a little bit old-fashioned that way, but I believe that, and I believe for every one of you young people in here, you need to have your own personal relationship with Jesus Christ. We're not following men. We're following the Holy Ghost who used men. You understand? But you have got to have that leading, because sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. And you're not going in following on the coattails of someone else. I don't care how close you were to Brother Branham, Brother Vail. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you can talk to him 24/7. If you don't have that personal relationship, and if you have not been quickened, you're lost. So get on your knees and spend some time with your Maker, and don't get up. Like the old black man said, Lord, if you don't come here and quicken me, he said, you're going to find a pile of old bones right here, because I'm not getting up. Now, I went through that. Many of you older people in here went through that. You younger people need to do the same. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 5 to 12, Paul says, remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Now, something came to me just while we're talking. I want to just say this. If you truly have been quickened by the Spirit and by the Word of God, then as Brother Branham said, when somebody's preaching something that's not quite the truth, he said, it won't ring the bell. Then you don't care who it is. You have a right to go to that person. And I've told this church, you have a right to come to me. If I say anything that you're not aware of that Brother Branham said, you have a right to come to ask me. And I said, but be a gentleman about it. Come decently and we'll talk about it. But the thing is, that's why so many churches have gone off, because the preacher goes off and the people just follow. Look at Jim Jones. 900 people swallowed the Kool-Aid. 900 people. Look at David Koresh, hundreds there. I don't know how many total was. Look at every single denominational church. The people swallow the Kool-Aid every single Sunday. And look at right in this message, men preaching something that's not even the message, calling it the message. And the people are afraid to question the minister. They're afraid they might get kicked out. So what if you get kicked out? Jesus said, Father, I've given them thy word, and the world hateth them because of it. And if you're not hated by the world, there's something wrong with your testimony. You're not reflecting Christ, because he was hated by the world. Now, 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 5 to 12. Remember ye not that when I was with you, I yet told you these things. And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Now notice, I just want to mention something here. You know, people are looking for some guy to come on the scene and doing all kinds of miracles. That's not what he's saying here. He's saying lying wonders. They're not true miracles. They're made up miracles. Lying wonders. They're lying about it. Well, the Lord did this through my ministry. The Lord did this through my ministry. I remember going years ago to a guy with one of the brothers from Jeffersonville. And our wives were visiting their mothers at that weekend. So we got together. And there was up in Indianapolis, there was this guy. And he had the word of knowledge, you know. And it was all just a bunch of pack of lies. The guy had five offerings before he even would get to the prayer line. And when he got to the prayer line, he put this little kiddie pool out there, and he took this water from the pool of Bethesda, he said, a little jar, and he poured it in like he's mixing this potion. He said, the Lord told me to add this, or mix this water from the pool of Bethesda with Indiana tap water. Oh, yes, I'm sure the Lord told him that. And so the people got up there to walk up, and this little black woman, she comes running up, and he said, just a minute, I haven't taken up the offering yet. He had already had four offerings by that time. Every time he took up an offering, and there was four to 5,000 people in this auditorium, it was a Masonic temple in Indianapolis, and he would have all the people come up row by row, come up, put their money in the bucket, and go by. Well, you know, my friend and I were the only guys in the whole place that didn't get up. People did it because of peer pressure. How many times they emptied their pockets? Well, you got four pockets. You got one here, and one here, one there. That's four. And then the fifth one's here. So he had to get one out of every pocket. I saw a man write out a check for $10,000. And, of course, they had to take a break, and the man was out smoking during the break. So anyway, he gets his pool of Bethesda, and he gets this woman coming up in a wheelchair. And so the man's piping the organ and just really blasting the organ and everything else. And she comes up the wheelchair, and he stands there. He grabs her, and he pulls her in the water, and he's yelling and shouting, and the whole place is going crazy. And they see this woman get up out of the wheelchair. She's standing there in the water. And then they help her through the water, and then she gets in the wheelchair, and they move her away. And I said, Fred, I've had enough. Let's go. We were sitting down. We had come down to the second row to kind of see what was going on. I wouldn't tell you the rest of the stuff I saw going on because it's too filthy to tell you. Honestly, it was just too filthy to tell you what was going on. Women being slain in the spirit, you know what kind of things were happening to them. So the woman goes up to the back, and so as Fred and I are walking out the back, I happen to see this woman. And I said, sister, I said, what did the Lord heal you of? And she said, emphysema. So, excuse me. So she was in a wheelchair because it was many stairs and stuff, and they just thought it would be easier on her, emphysema. So she wasn't healed of anything. But the fact is, lying wonders. Men publishing lies. Anyway. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they might all be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. You see, the word is a very powerful thing. It's a seed. And so is man's word is a seed. Peter said, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. So we have an incorruptible seed, which is the word of God, but we have a corruptible seed, which is man's seed. Now, the Weiss translation said, whose coming and presence is in the sphere of every kind of wicked deception that is geared to the gullibility of those who are perishing. Geared to the gullibility. Geared, like it's in a gear. When you have a gear, you have like a little sprocket. You have, when this one moves, this one's got to move. And the deception is geared to the gullibility. Now, is that getting through to your mind? The gullibility. People are gullible. They believe everything they hear. They don't take it back to the Word. They believe it because the pastor said it. You see? Geared to the gullibility of those who are in the act of perishing. This gullibility being caused by the fact that they did not accept the love for the truth to the end that they might be saved. And because of this, God sends them a deluding influence resulting in their believing the lie, in order that they all might be judged who did not believe the truth, but took delight in wickedness. Now, not wickedness as if, you know, they enjoy going out and killing and maiming and those things. God calls wickedness those people that that will not take His word. If they have a wrong revelation, it's wicked. The Bible says John said, not of that wicked one who slew his brother. So it wasn't the slaying that was the wicked thing. It was the doctrine that was wrong that allowed him to do the deed that was wrong. It was the mind that was wrong that allowed to do the deed that was wrong. You see, Brother Bram said, smoking and drinking, that's not sin. Sin is unbelief. They smoke and they drink. They have attributes. Those are just attributes of their unbelief, you see. All right. So you see, God knows who already believes and who doesn't. And so the purpose of the wrong influence is to give those who do not believe an opportunity to expose their unbelief. Now in John chapter 3, verse 17 to 21, we read, "For God sent His Son into the world not to condemn the world." God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hates the light, neither will come to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Well, when you share this gospel and men turn away from it and won't come to it, it shows that they are evil. You see? But he that doeth truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they were wrought in God, that they had their source in God. Now, did you notice it says they are already condemned? But notice those who have their source in God, they cannot help but to come to the truth. Most people haven't a clue then to who God is or what He is. What they have is based solely upon their own imagination or the imagination of another, whether it be a church's position or the opinion of a priest, a rabbi, or some minister. The messenger Irenaeus, second messenger, actually at the end of each church age, it seemed like the people that didn't quite grasp it, they went into error. The Bible says they left their first love. And so Irenaeus says in his letters against the heretics, the heresies, he says, "Such is then is their system, which neither the prophets announced, nor the Lord taught, nor the apostles delivered, but of which they boast that beyond all others they have a perfect knowledge." Oh yeah, and we find that today. Well, they have a perfect knowledge of the message. Why? Well, because they hunted with Brother Branham. They fished with Brother Branham. That gives them a perfect knowledge. Just like in the days of Paul. The apostles were sitting there gathered together, and they were putting people in, putting people out in their headquarters, in Jerusalem. Paul had the word of God. Paul had the revelation. Oh, but they fished with Jesus. That made them special. They fished with Jesus. It took Paul's ministry to help them to understand what had taken place. You see? God rejected the 12 and chose the 12th apostle. They chose one by drawing straws. Isn't that cool? Let's just roll dice and see who's going to be the next minister. That's about what they're doing today. God rejected him. God had Paul waiting. And God knew He could use Paul because He could knock Paul from his high horse. Paul was zealous for the Lord. The others weren't so zealous. They were fishermen, tax collectors, and whatever. Paul went and did what God wanted done. The others didn't do it until after 14 years. After 14 years without any fellowship, they finally saw what God was doing through Paul. And they began to step out. And one by one, God began to use them. But it took a while, didn't it? All right. Notice even the same thing happened with Joseph. At a young age, Joseph accepted his role in the family. It took the others a long hardship and a long drought and everything else to finally get off their ash heap and recognize, hey, we have a role in this family too, for the preservation of life in this family. You see? Okay. So anyway, Irenaeus says, "Such is their system, which neither the prophets announced, nor the Lord taught, nor the apostles delivered, but of which they boast that beyond all others they have a perfect knowledge." Well, isn't that hunky-dory? "They gather their views from other sources than the scriptures, and to use common proverbs, they strive to weave ropes of sand." It'd be pretty tough, wouldn't it? Ropes of sand. "While they endeavor to adopt with an air of probability to their own peculiar assertions, the parables of the Lord, the sayings of the prophet, the words of the apostles, in order that their scheme may not seem altogether without support. In doing so, however, they disregard the order and the connection of the Scriptures, and so far as in them lies, they dismember and destroy the truth. By transferring passages and dressing them up anew, and making one thing out of another, they succeed in deluding many through their wicked art in adapting the oracles of the Lord to their own opinions. Their manner of acting is just as if one, when a beautiful image of a king has been constructed by some skillful artist out of precious jewels, should then take this likeness of the man all to pieces, should rearrange the gems and so fit them together to make them into the image or the form of a dog or a fox, and even that but poorly executed, and should then maintain and declare that this was indeed the image, the beautiful image of the king, which the skillful artist constructed, pointing to the jewels which had been admirably fitted together by the first artist to form the image of the king, but had been with bad effect transferred by the latter one to the shape of a dog, and by thus exhibiting the jewels should deceive the ignorant who had no conception what a king king's form was like, and persuade them that this miserable likeness of the fox was in fact the beautiful image of a or of the king. They take the quotes and they show the people the quote, the quote, the quote, the quote. And people say, oh yeah, Brother Branham said that. And then they add their own little deceptions, just like the devil said. Surely the Lord's a good God. Surely you will not die. And in like manner do these persons patch together old wise fables and then endeavor to violently draw away from their proper connection words, expressions, and parables whenever found to adapt the oracles of God to their baseless fictions. You see, they do not hold to the continuity of the Word. They don't know the message by the Bible. They come up with a whole bunch of quotes. Like years ago, I was in a minister meeting in Tucson. 25 years old, youngest minister there. And this guy comes up from South America. And he has these quotes where Brother Branham said, you know, there's never two prophets on earth at one time. But Moses and Elijah are coming back and they're going to come to the Jews. So therefore Moses and Elijah must be one person. And of course he had made this film showing himself coming down in a cloud. You know, it was trick photography, but it was, you know, here he comes down. He's standing there and he's on a cloud and the cloud descends to earth and he gets off and... Lying wonders. And all his deacons had carried pistols, you know, to protect him. They were like bodyguards. So we hear that Jesus warns us. Paul warns us. Peter warns us. And in Mark 4:24, Jesus said, and he said unto them, take heed what you hear. Be careful what you're hearing. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured back to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. Brother Branham said, if you're looking through Pentecostal glasses, you're going to see a Pentecostal Bible. If you're looking through Baptist glasses, you're going to see a Baptist Bible. In other words, with what measure you are measuring with, that's what you're going to get. You see? So he says, be careful how you hear. You say, how I hear? Don't we hear with our ears? Well, I'd like to ask the question, how do you hear? Do you hear with your ears? Or are you only hearing the sounds with your ears? He said, take heed. That word is blepo in the Greek. Beware of, be careful to discern, to observe and contemplate, to weigh carefully, to examine what you hear. Now that word is tis. It means what, who, whom, why, that which hear from, and the word hear is a coup, to understand, comprehend, or perceive, to sense what is being said, to give an ear to a teaching or a teacher with a view toward understanding. So be careful how you're understanding. We also see in Matthew 13, verse 10 to 17, and the disciples came and said unto him, why do you speak unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, because it's given for you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not given. It's not meant for them. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. And that's why, you young people, listen up. You have a message that God himself came down with. That message is for you. It's not for the rest of the world. It's for you. God came down from glory to give you a message to change you and to transform you into the image of sons and daughters of God, into the very image, and be conformed to the likeness of the firstborn son. That message is for you. You. So he says, for whomsoever hath, now that Greek word is echo. Whosoever echoes, whosoever is made in such a way as to be able to reflect back the same word in the same way, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. Why? Because when you echo, it's more than once. It's over and over and over again. And you have that same word over and over and over and over again. And listen, that word is more precious than gold. Can you imagine if you could take your gold, if you got a piece of gold, and echo it? You're building up treasure. Well, what about the word of promises God has for you? Huh? Jesus said, when men shall say all manner of evil against you for my sake, he said, be thankful. For great is your treasure in heaven. Great is your reward. When they say things to you, you hold up the shield of faith and you just let the things that they say fall at your feet, because it's gold. It's treasure for the other side, where taxes won't be taken, where moth won't corrupt and rust won't destroy. Anyway, he answered, said unto them, because it's given for you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not given. For whosoever echoes, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever echoes not, from him shall be taken away even that which he thinks that he echoes. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because they seeing, they see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing you shall hear, and shall not, by hearing they shall hear, but not understand. And seeing they shall see, but they shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. Notice he said, we do not hear with our ears, nor do we see with our eyes. These are only outer senses that send stimulus to our brain. But what we hear with and what we see with only brings a stimulus that enters into our mind or spirit, where the five other senses are. In 1 Corinthians 2:11 said, for what man knoweth the things of a man except the spirit of man's in him? He said, then how are we going to understand the things of God except the Spirit of God be in us? You see? For we have spiritual sight, which is revelatory, and is possessed only within the soul of the believer. Brother Branham called it the sixth sense. Who alone has this spiritual sight, which is called faith. And it comes from God. Now what I'm trying to say here is that you see and hear with your mind. And as we read in Mark 4:24, that we must be careful. We must take heed how we hear, because the measure we use to hear is the only thing that we will hear. As a tree leaneth, so shall it fall. If our minds are already made up, then what we hear will be filtered by what we want to hear. If our minds are not open, then we will never come to the knowledge of the truth. You know, I could take the strongest person in here, have them come up, stand against a wall. Walk, take your feet, put your head against the wall, move your feet 3 feet out. And as you're leaning, put your hands behind your back, try to stand up. You can't do it. I don't care how strong you are, you can't do it. Why? You're leaning that way. And the same thing with the Word of God. If you're leaning a certain direction, that's the direction you're going to go. You see? For with what measure you meet, to measure it out, that's all you're going to receive back. Mark 4:24. Luke 8:18. Take heed therefore how you hear. That Greek word for how is the word pos. By what means, after what manner, in what way you hear. For whosoever hath, whosoever echoes. The word speaks of possession. We also understand that the word echo means repetition through reflection. To him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken that which he thinks that he has. So Paul tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 15, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. And of course, the word doctrine means teaching. It means the instruction. continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Notice that we are told that it will save both you and those who hear you. We find Proverbs 22 and verse 6. Then train up a child in the way he shall go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So a child will always revert back to the way he or she was trained. The filter that we have, the measuring stick we have, is based upon what information we filter it through. And so we see that everything that we know, we were taught by someone. Every fact that we make our decisions upon is based upon something someone told us. And the world is under such delusion today that people take what is only theory and believe it for gospel. As in Darwin and evolution. Landing on the moon, as Brother Brown said, we'll never make it. And if we did make it, we'll never find anything there. You know, I used this illustration in a church one time that had sat under a false ministry for so many years that the people did not know what the truth was. I hid a lamb under a blanket and told the people that the Gentiles worship what they know not, as Jesus said. I told them to guess what was under the blanket, because that is what most people do concerning their faith. They're only guessing. It's only a guess to them. I then read them seven attributes which describe what I had hid under the blanket. And before I did, though, I told one group under the blanket, told a group over here, I said, I want you to think bunny rabbit every time that you hear an attribute. A group over here, I gave them a little note, said, I want you to think puppy dog every time you hear an attribute. A group in the back, I said, don't make up your mind until you hear all the attributes. And so one by one by one, they begin to guess. Well, the first thing I asked the group in general, I said, the church, I said, what do you see here? And a person raised their hand and said, well, I see a covering. I said, that's very good. You see a covering. That's good. Wrote it on the blackboard, see a covering. I said, what does anybody else see here? A person raised their hand and said, well, I see a bump. I said, okay, that's very good. We'll put a bump. They see a bump. Okay, that's getting real definitive in our understanding of God, isn't it? You know? Okay, I said, anybody else, what do you see? Somebody says, well, I see a lump. I said, well, lump, bump, same thing, but we'll put it down. Anything else? Nothing. And that's the way people worship God. They don't have a clue. But remember, He's the Word. And so there's got to be one who declares Him. And He declares Him by words. So we had some brothers come up. They read off the attributes. The first attribute is has four legs. Four legs. I said to the bunny rabbit people, I said, is that right? They said, amen. They knew what it was now. It was a bunny rabbit, had four legs. The people over here, puppy dog, is that right? Amen, that's right. Okay, the next one, beautiful outer coat. Is that right? Oh, bunny rabbit people, yeah, beautiful outer coat. Puppy dog people, yeah, beautiful outer coat. Has a gentle nature. Oh, yeah, bunny rabbits have gentle nature. Puppy dog people, oh, yeah, has a gentle nature. Its nature is to follow. Bunny rabbit people? Yeah. Bunny rabbits follow. Puppy dog people? Yeah. Puppy dogs follow. It has a beautiful, it can jump small fences. Oh yeah, bunny rabbit people? Yeah. Small fences. Puppy dog people? Yeah. It can jump small fences. It is self-sacrificial in nature. Well, I guess bunny rabbit people thought, well, I guess he's a bunny rabbit so he can feed somebody. That's self-sacrificial in nature. Puppy dog people probably thought, well, when he gets older, he'll be like Lassie, Rin Tin Tin, you know. And then the final one, I said, a shepherd boy's friend. And at this point, the bunny rabbit people said, amen. A shepherd boy's friend, amen. And the puppy dog people thought, yeah, amen. And then I asked the people in the back, I said, who is it, or what is it? And they said, it's a lamb. And when I uncovered it and showed a lamb, if looks could kill, I wouldn't be here speaking to you today. Those people sat under a false ministry for 20 years. And I said, look, I said, the reason why you're so angry is because I allowed you to deceive yourself by words. Because you had a preconceived notion of what was under there, given to you. And I didn't say it was that. I said, think that. And you did think that, and you deceived yourself. And I said, and you sat under that ministry for 20 years, listening to what that man gave you, and totally deceived you, and you entered into the deception because you looked at the coin, or you looked at the little jewel, like Irenaeus said. And you couldn't see the forest because you were so close to the quote, the trees. And so when he says that your pastor is ordained to lead you through, or that the pastor is a husband spiritually speaking, and they don't take the rest of the quote, where Brother Branham laughed and made folly of that thought that the pastor is your husband spiritually speaking, because the Bible tells us that Christ is the Word, your old husband is dead. And Brother Branham said, if your pastor is a feeder of the chickens, well, just go let him feed the chickens. But see, they get one quote, they get the same quotes, and they... And what they do, they're shaping the minds of the people. And the Bible says because of the gullibility, they're geared to that. And it also tells me that sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. They can only take so much and then they have to step out. John chapter 8, verse 37. I know that you're Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I've seen with my father, and you do that which you've seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. Then they said unto him, we were not born of fornication. We're not serpent seed. We have one Father, even God. And Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. That's why the Bible says, after two admonitions, reject as a heretic. What does that mean? It doesn't mean treat him dirty. Treat him mean. It means just simply, just let him go. Let him go. You can't. You can take a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. And if you hold his head down to try to make him drink, what's going to happen, Cody? He's going to... Huh?
Drown.
Well, either that or he's going to kick you till you're senseless. Right? I mean, try sometime. Try to hold a horse head where you don't want to go. You're going to get a hind hoof in the backside. Hopefully not in the head. For I proceeded forth from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own. For he is a liar and the father of it, and because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinces me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because you're not of God. So just let them be. They're happy. They're comfortable. That's fine. Give them the warning twice. They don't take it. Just let them alone. For Matthew 23:32, Jesus said, fill ye up the measure of your fathers. Remember, train up the child in the way they go. When they get old, they won't depart. If they've been given a word base, they'll come back to that word every time. If they've been given an organization base, well, they might come back to the organization. Or they might go into a criminal organization. You see? Jesus told them to fill up the measure of their own fathers. In other words, every seed will bring forth after its kind, after its own nature. Then what can you expect them to believe? Can you expect them to believe? Jesus said they can't. They're not capable of hearing the word, understanding it. There is no way they can believe. They are ordained not to believe. That reminds me of a man who was mental, and he thought he was dead. So the doctor trying to help him, he asked him, he said, if dead men could bleed. And the man said, oh yeah, dead men can bleed. No, excuse me, I got it wrong. He said, no, of course, dead men can't bleed. Their hearts stop. They can't bleed. So the doctor took a pin and pricked the guy. He began to bleed. And the guy said, oh, dead men can bleed. He said, mine's made up. That's kind of a stupid joke. That was Brother Vail's joke. It wasn't mine. He told that years ago. But to get the point across, okay? The fact is that the guy's mind was made up. He had one set of doctrine, one set of thoughts. When you showed him he was wrong, he went right back to, he changed his theory. Not to accept the truth, but to further his theory. dead man can be. Now, if God were to come in a day and walk down the street, there's no way that you would know him unless he began to open his mouth and talk to you by words. You see, when Jesus talked to the disciples, their hearts became warmed. They knew something was taking place. Then, when he performed an act, which he had done just a few days before that, but in the breaking of the bread, then they recognized him. Because you can only know someone by their mind, what they think and what they are. Even the things that you do are a manifestation of what you're thinking. Brother Branham said that Eve had to first think adultery before she could perform it. You must first think of lying before you do it. If you hear a false description, you will be looking for a false person. That's why Paul said in 2 Corinthians 11-4 that the people had become seduced to believe another Jesus because they received so openly that other gospel, that one of a different nature. Therefore, how do we know what is the correct word of God? Vindication is the only way. And how does God vindicate his word? God interprets his own word by bringing it to pass. Brother Branham spoke of vindication well over 2,270 times. And the word comes from the Latin word vindicatius. And this word comes from two Latin words, vin or vim, which means to use force, and the word discere, which comes from the root word diction, which means to express by words. So to forcibly express by words. In other words, to back up what's being said. The words together form the words, as we know it, to vindicate, which means to clear from criticism or suspicion. In other words, to prove and to back up. Therefore, to see that the very presence of God on the scene is to back up the message that he gave his prophet. God interprets his word by doing what? Vindicating it. Bringing it to pass. So where does that put us today? Where are we at? The fact is this, sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. He gives you the little thing called the Comforter. Brother Bram said when the Holy Ghost comes into you, he says it's about this, a little button, about the size of a little button or about the size of a little fingernail. When Rebecca took the camels home, Brother Bram said she watered first the power. That was to pack her home. It is up to us to feed the word to the Holy Spirit that lays within you. It is also up to you to challenge everything being said. Not to take it as gospel truth, but to take it according to the word. That's why the way that I operate my ministry, I take a thought from Brother Branham and I run it back to the scripture. Because if you do that and you can show by the scripture what he's saying, you don't have your own thoughts to add. You're just declaring what's been said. We've come to the place where we are to be conformed to the image of the firstborn son. And Jesus said the son can do nothing but what he sees the father do. How are we going to see what God does? It's right here. You can all read. Jesus said, I only speak what the father commanded me what to say. Thus I speak. So we have words to say right here. Jesus said, let your words be few. That your yea be yea and your nay be nay. He said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. And he said, this is the biggest one for us. I didn't come to do my own will, but the will of the Father which sent me. If we can just grasp those four little things in our life, his actions, his words, his doctrine, his will, will be conformed to the image of the firstborn son. Let's bow our heads in prayer. The gracious Father, we thank you for your word. We believe, Father, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. We believe that you yourself came down with a shout, with a message, not only to declare who you are and why you're here, but that message is to transform us by the renewing of the mind. It's to bring us forth into the image of the firstborn son, conformed to the image of that firstborn son in a vast family of brothers. We thank you, Father, that you have given us a prophet in this day who received your instruction, who yielded his vessel. He said, you want to borrow my body, I'll give it to you, loan it to you, whatever you can get from it. Help us to have that same mind that was in Christ, who thought himself not equal to be, or robber to be equal with God, but took on him the form of a servant. He said, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. May that be our motto. May that be our expression. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's try a song here that we sang in the beginning. And I know it's geared a little bit. The song is more of a high tenor. But let me just see if I can get this on for us. Wonderful peace, because that's what we should have. Wonderful peace.
Far away in the depths of my spirit tonight rolls a melody sweeter than song. In celestial-like strain it unceasingly falls o'er my soul like an infinite calm. Peace, peace, wonderful peace, falling down from the Savior above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows of love. What a treasure I have in this wonderful peace, buried deep in the heart of my soul. So secure that no power can mine it away, while the years of eternity roll. Peace, peace, wonderful peace, falling down from the Savior above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows of love. I am resting tonight in this wonderful peace, resting sweetly in Jesus' control. For I'm kept from all danger by night and by day, and His glory is flooding my soul. Peace, peace, wonderful peace, falling down from the Savior above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows of love. And methinks when I rise to that city of peace, where the Author of peace I shall see, that one strain of the song which the ransom will sing in that heavenly kingdom shall be. Peace, peace, wonderful peace, falling down from the Savior above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows of love.
Amen. God bless you, and we have a dinner afterwards. You're all invited to come. And Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, take the name of Jesus with you.
Amen.